for God's presence tonight. And let's see if I can get hooked up here. Learn something to clip to. Just so thankful for all of your lives and just a time to come back and get refreshed in the presence of the Lord with you all, and just believing that the Holy Spirit of God would just unfold to your hearts tonight what's just been burning in my spirit and just the last number of weeks as we've been seeking the Lord, and you know, just having the privilege and the time and just being able to hear Pastor's heart, you know, today walking. I think we walked almost 10 miles, but it was good. And just so thankful for, you know, you can't help as I went back and to the missions house and just your faithfulness to have a place like this that we can come and be refreshed and hear from his heart, and to have the privilege to come back and see men like Pastor Rob and Mama Mildred, you know, just to see their lives just continuing in the work in Africa and the furtherance of the gospel there, coming and hearing the testimonies of the Lord that are working among you all. And I just believe that in this hour that Father has something for us as a people. And I just want to take time tonight to unfold as much as we're able by the Holy Spirit of God, a passage so familiar to us in Matthew chapter 16, but I want to speak from it in a different light as the Holy Spirit was dealing with us in the church there in Buffalo, and just something that stirring my heart in the hour that we're in, and just hearing some of what Pastor was sharing on just the Church of Ephesus. He was sharing some on the Church of Laodicea. And I want to read here, and I didn't quite get out what was in my spirit. I was just thanking God that I was reminded as I got back to the house that though you have 10,000 teachers, you don't have many fathers. And just the Father in the faith that he's been in my life all these years. And when you know what a true father is, and what that is in the spirit realm as a true patriarch of God, and I believe God would just stir our hearts tonight that as we have this word that's coming forth from his heart and leading us and cutting a path for us in this hour, I just want us to hear the heart of Jesus here in Matthew 16. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees came in verse 1 desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And I just want to talk some tonight, the distinguishing of the times. And when we talk about distinguishing the times, we've been well taught and we've heard in many ways and fashions from the Holy Spirit of God of some of those true signs of the last days that we're going to be encountering. The perilous times and times of defection and the love of many growing cold, the intensifying of persecution and tribulations increasing and signs in the heavens. We just look at the world we're living in and times of shaking worldwide, shaking in the body of Christ, shaking in this world just like a tottering shack, like a drunk man. And we've talked about that. But I want to talk a little bit as we take it further when we talk about discerning the signs of the times, of distinguishing is what we're talking about, the workings, the dealings of God in our hearts, the visitation of God in our lives in this hour. You know, Pastor was taught about the preparation of the bride for the soon coming and the Lord just preparing our hearts to be used of Him, to pluck from the fire those brands and to see those souls that God has called us in these final days to be gathered into this ark of salvation. And I wanted to just take our minds for a moment when we talk about distinguishing that into Romans 13. And a passage the Apostle Paul was speaking there to the church in Rome of a true awakening, a true calling to attention. And just what he spoke here in verse 11, and that knowing the time, and that's what I want to call the message tonight, knowing the time. And I just want to stir your heart to know the time, this hour of God in our lives, and the voice of God to you individually, not just worldwide and signs of the last days. But we're going to take a moment to even, Lord willing, just that passage when Jesus came into Jerusalem on that final journey and he looked at Jerusalem. And I try to imagine, I remember when we stood there on the Mount of Olives and looking across the Kidron Valley from the Garden of Gethsemane at Jerusalem. And when you see it, your heart would just, you couldn't help but your heart to melt as you could feel the heart of God, of what Jerusalem is to his heart. And yet how Jesus wept over it. And how he poured out his heart, just how I long to gather you under my wings as a hen does her chicks. But you would not, you refused. And he spoke of the coming judgment that was fulfilled and will be further fulfilled. But he spoke of that as he wept over Jerusalem and he said, if you would have only known the day of your visitation and the things that belong to you. And you know, when I read that, I just recently, it made my heart tremble again, just, are we recognizing the voice of God that's preparing us for this hour and God's visitation in our hearts? You know, when Paul spoke here, he said that knowing the time, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed or when we first believed. Do you believe that tonight? That it's nearer than when we first understood it and we were first instructed, and that knowing the time, that it is high time. And I would just ask us, are we really recognizing the time? And I want us to hear it more from our own hearts individually as God is looking to prepare us as a people in this hour for what he wants to do to his church in these last days. You know, we spoke often of the wickedness and the lawlessness, the spirit of Antichrist, many Antichrists in the world, the perilous times, the times of defection. But when I look at types and shadows in the Old Testament of the catching away of the church and how Elijah the prophet was just caught off in the chariots of God as Elisha was there and just cried out, my father, and the chariots of Israel, and just in a blaze of glory and the chariots of God was just caught away into the presence of God. And I just see that type of the church, that though this wickedness and Jezebel and the false prophets and the prophets of Baal and the increase of lawlessness and iniquity abounded, the church of the living God is going to go out in a blaze of glory. Hallelujah. We're not going out as a flickering candle ready to burn out. He's coming back for a glorious church. Hallelujah. Without spot or blemish. And I believe he's making us ready. And when he says, knowing the time that it's high time to awake up, it is no time to be found sleeping. How many parables of the Lord do we hear time and time again where the Lord said, who is that faithful and wise steward who when the master returns is going to find him with his loins girded and his lamps burning, and that faithful servant looking for his master's return. And when we see this, he says, knowing the time, it's high time. It is no time for slumber. And when you look at all of the parables, so much of what Jesus said and especially in those final hours, how much was those warnings that our lamps would be full of oil and burning and we would be awake, and how many admonitions of not letting the slumber, this world's intoxications, this world's lulling us to sleep, its enticements, anything that'll cause us to lose that sobriety, that alertness, that spiritual watchfulness. And he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I believe it's time for us to rise and shine as never before. I believe our light has come. And when I look at this and I begin to ponder of just what Jesus said, are we discerning the signs of the times? Are we discerning what God is, His voice in our heart and the Holy Spirit, what He's speaking to the churches and to our hearts individually in this fellowship of the purification, the laying aside of the sins and the weights and putting on Christ, no time to be slumber, no time to be sleeping, and making no provision for the works of the flesh. You know, I can't help but to think, you know, as Ecclesiastes said, to everything there's a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. And I just wonder, am I discerning what Father is wanting to do to prepare my heart to be that vessel in these last days that can be full of the oil of God? That our faces could be radiating Jesus out of these clay vessels. The glory of God that's in these clay vessels can be emanating to this generation. And what are those things that are in us that are hindering the fullness of God from being seen and realized in us? And so when I was meditating and I was thinking, to everything there's a season, and just, we're in a very unique season. I believe God has just been purifying us. And I was just reading some of the email daily devotionals over the last few weeks, and some of them of the purifying fire of God and some of the words that were being spoken in 2011. And I was just reading some of the words of Pastor, and my head just fell to the desk, and you just could remember like yesterday of just some of the trials and the tribulations and the threatenings of the enemy so vividly and so clearly. And yet we know that refiner's fire, that purifying process through the fiery trials to give us that gold tried in the fire that's been working in us as a fellowship. And I believe, as we would see it, that those seasons of God, There's purpose for us in this hour. But are we recognizing the season we're in, the purposes of God for us as a people? And as I look at that, it took me back to Psalm 39, and I just have had some times as we've been just laboring for the souls there in Buffalo, and just what it's been in a season of just after the 15 years in Africa and just kind of going back to scratch again, back to the bottom of the barrel, man. Ground up, grounds below zero in Buffalo in more than one way. And just starting again and just believing for a few disciples and for some souls, and let's go up and see what God will do. As I sat in the sanctuary last week and I looked across the room there and we were sharing some testimonies, and that little sanctuary was getting a little bit filled up, you know, about 40 people. But you could, just the glory of God that filled that place, and I looked out at just all the faces and the lives. And just one from here and one from this ditch and one from that pit and one from here and one from the wilderness there. And you know, you go through these seasons of God, and I was calling them back to remembrance when we had began, and I remembered we probably had been in Buffalo for about 2 weeks, and I still got this vivid picture of when they called it Snowvember, and it was about 7 feet of snow, and you could see on Lake Erie, it was like a wall as it was coming in, of where it actually hit the city, and it looked literally like a wall as it was just, and you know, I was looking in there, and yeah, we're somewhere right in the middle of that, behind that wall right there in South Buffalo. But I can remember just the cold, the season it was, and you know, it was just day after day, minus 14, minus 16, you know, high to minus 10 degrees, 60 below chill, as like, welcome home to Buffalo, you know. And it was but just a few weeks, and we're just laboring with a few souls in there. And I can remember, you know, we had this little sanctuary we started with, and you know, when you'd open that door in the back, you could just, it sounded like minus 50 below every time you open it. Just, you know, and you'd shut it and kaboosh, and had quite its squeaks and cracks. And one of the brothers had in the night fallen down his steps, and you know, I think it was about a minus 40 below chill factor. He missed the first service, so we had prayed for him, you know, when you got a congregation of 6 or 8 people, you know, and one's missing, you know, it's like anywhere from a quarter or however how many are there on any given day could be 20% missing, you know. And so we felt the loss, but just hearing that door just creak open midway through the service and hearing that brother just walk through the door and said, I gotta get to the house of God. And it was calling the brethren's remembrance of, as we started from nothing, and then just looking in the room, and as I was meditating on what it was like to leave Africa, our bodies left, but I left my heart on the ground there. And I don't think there's a day that goes by where I can't feel Makuru Kwinjenga or Kaole or Buchania or Siaya or Subakuria or Kakamega, or, and you could just go on and on. But you know, the seasons of God that He brings us through for His purposes, for that which he has ahead, as Jesus, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. And there is a joy before us as a people. And that those storms and the cold and the pains of dying to self and the surrender to the will of God. I thought here in Psalm 39 where he said here in verse 5, behold, you've made my days as a handbreadth. Well, let me say in verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You know, you look at, I was just sitting there, I was thinking, you know, the 15 years there, and it's just like, kind of just, and it's gone, you know. And it's, and just trying to follow the voice of God and just embrace the cup that he puts in your life and whatever it is. And there's the seasons of God in our lives that he's digging into our hearts. He's purifying us. He's pulling out of us those things that are in the way of his fullness. And when I read this, I couldn't help but the thing. He says, make me to know my end, the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail it is. Behold, you've made my days as a handbreadth, and my ages as nothing before you. And man at his best state is altogether vanity. And beloved, the time is so short. I look at the souls that are lost, and every day you walk out that door and you see the masses with empty hearts and lives just lost. As you come into this area when you've been out of it, my soul was just trembling for you as a people. How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? I was thinking how miraculous your lives are. I started just in my mind just pondering worldwide of the median of wealth that's in this area, of one of the most wealthiest places in the world and in the history of humanity. And here you are. That not many days ago, the cows were looking in the window. And just the Mud Road Church. But as you see the hand of God in our lives and just preparing us for such a time as this, and what he goes on, and what I was seeing here when he talks about just that my days are nothing. Am I really hearing what the Spirit of God is saying and what he's wanting to do? Because time is short, beloved. There's just not much time left. I thought of the verse in Ephesians 5 when he talks about don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And just the redeeming of the time, you know, I was looking at that psalm more in the Greek, and it was just talking about a taking of full advantage of every chance, and it was implying that sense of urgency and intensity. It's not a time to let anything of the world that would cause us to lose that sobriety of understanding of what's before us, this open door before us as a people. Pastor was sharing not many weeks ago of just his burden for this door that's open in the gospel in this place. What a wide open door. I just look at where we are there in South Buffalo, and it's just, Someone asked me recently, so what are you doing there, Pastor? And I looked at him and said, what do you think we're doing, man? It's souls. It's the gospel. We're casting out demons. We're laying hands on the sick. We're preaching in his name. We're warring principalities and powers. We're trying to pull souls from the fire and snatch them from the hand of the enemy. And we're seeing God gather a remnant. And it's an open door. And every day, you look out as you get into prayer and you cry out, God, just pull the scales from my eyes and help me to see your heart and see through your eyes to this generation as you're ever seeking for that man that'll stand in the gap, that can be used of you in this hour. And I just, when I read this, I sense urgency, intensity. There's not a day to waste. There's no time to squander. It's high time to awake out of sleep. I've got to discern just what's before us. And God, whatever it is in me that you're wanting to purge and pull out the rocks and the weeds in my heart, Lord, just give me that heart that is completely surrendered to your purposes, no matter what the pain, the suffering, or whatever I have to pass through. I think of here in Psalm 102, it used the phrase and came to my heart as I was thinking on these things. And Psalm 102, and we talk about those set times and seasons of God, and I just believe we're on ground we've never been before. Someone recently was saying, oh, Pastor, don't we want to see what was on Azusa Street? And I sensed in the Spirit, God wants to do something greater than Azusa Street. Why not? Hallelujah. We've been blessed completely of His grace with treasures and revelation of the Word of God and a Word that's come into our hearts to produce a faith that the works that He did shall we do also, and greater works than these shall we do. I want the greater works, don't you? I want to walk in what Jesus promised. And as I look at this, I was reading here, and if you could take a look here, why don't we look down here? And he talked here in verse 16, and he was talking about the restoration or a rebuilding from the ashes and the weeping that he was speaking of in the first part of this chapter, and we don't have time for all of it, but he said in verse 13, Lord, you will arise and have mercy on Zion. And we know Zion is that mountain of God, that city of God, the holiness of God and of His kingdom. The kingdom of God, Mount Zion, and the Lord will build up Zion. He'll build up His kingdom, and He shall appear in His glory. I believe that God has been preparing us from the ashes of trials and fires and tribulations and persecutions and afflictions and dealing with our hearts. And He says that He will build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. And he said here when we look at it, and in verse 12, let's go back, I'm sorry. But thou, Lord, you shall endure forever in your remembrance unto all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. And I just wanted you to see there is a set time of God. And I believe we are in one of those set times by God. Everything we've been enduring, everything that we've been going through, everything that God has been speaking from this pulpit to prepare us is for such a time as this. And as he speaks here of the trials in verse 8, my enemies reproach me all the day. They that are mad against me are sworn against me. I've eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. And he talked about the hand of God that was sore upon them, and it was God using that purification and his chastening and in his love for them to bring them to this place that he says that the Lord's going to build up Zion and he's going to rise. And there is now this set time that has come. And I just believe that God has brought us to this set time. And I believe he's preparing our hearts still. There's a visitation that's going on that's here that's just, it's not ordinary what we're in. This is not business as usual. And I believe there's a work, there's an open door in the Spirit that's before us, and those set times of God are upon us, but are we hearing? Are we listening? Are we recognizing the time of our visitation? You know, I was reading in Revelation as Pastor was sharing some of the things that he had been sharing of whether it was the word to Ephesus and as powerful and as an enduring and a working church and a people of doctrine they were, and yet how the Holy Spirit of God spoke to the messenger there of the church of Ephesus. And he spoke that word to them, challenging them in Revelation 2 and verse 4 to their first love, and just that word to repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and remove your candlestick out of this place. And that holy trembling of God, just keep us awake, keep us in pursuit. And as I was meditating on some of those things, and he was sharing some of even the church of Laodicea, but as I was cruising through and just looking at some of these admonitions, so many rich truths, I came here in chapter 2 in light of what the Lord's been just burning in my heart recently. And when he said here in chapter 2 in verse to the church of Thyatira, and he said in verse 18, these things saith the Son of God, who has eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I was just remembering again, do we still tremble at the presence of God? When we come in here, is there that expectation for God to come down and visit us? I look at all the men of God in this room that are fathers, and my mind goes back to some of those admonitions of John to the fathers and the young men and the little children, and given each one of those admonitions. And he talked to the young men that you've escaped the world, and you could hear the young adults, you escaped the world, you're here, you're at a place for God to use you. And then he kind of culminates and it rings out, love not the world nor the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He talked about the old men, the elders among them. And he gave each one of those admonitions, and it's just, I was just sensing the Holy Spirit to, you know, I began to think of myself first as an elder, as placed by his grace, and I thought of all of the other elders here, of just when Jehoshaphat was visited by God, and he was was placing the judges and he gave that admonition that you're not judging for man, do it in the fear of God, but you're judging for God. And I was just asking God, just God, am I ruling in that holy fear? Is there that sobriety? And he says, for I am in your midst, I'm watching, I'm with you. Chronicles 19. I thought of all of the deacons and just the years of service, but my mind went back to Acts chapter 6. They were men that were chosen because they were men full of the wisdom of God, of faith, of the Holy Ghost, men of an honest report. Am I still full of the Holy Ghost? Am I still full of the wisdom of God? Is there that, is the intensity to serve? And you could take it from whatever role you're in, little children, young adults, elders, you could see the beloved John calling them to attention, reminding them of what God has done in them and the victories in their lives and saying, love not the world. You can read it there in 1 John 2. And the admonition's not to lose that first love, but as he came here into Thyatira, and I just seen that, and just the trembling at the presence of God, the fear of the Lord, that we wouldn't neglect or lose that awareness of his holiness, and when we do, we're crying out, God, open my eyes. Pull these scales of the world off. Wash me with the washing of the water of your word. And as we came here in Thyatira, what I wanted us to see was he was talking about the few things he had him in verse 20, and he talked about that woman Jezebel that calls herself a prophetess and was teaching and seducing his servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. And he was reproving the church because there was sin, there was corruption going on in their midst, and they were just allowing it. Now these were people that he spoke high. I know your works, your charity, your service, your faith, your endurance, and your works, and the last to be more than the first. Or you're doing more now than you've ever done, is what he was saying. And you're walking in these areas and realms beyond anything you ever have in your life, and yet you're allowing this. And, you know, we look at that and say, well, I don't commit fornication, you know, so I'm good. But what is that seductress in our lives? What is that, whatever it is that's in the world that is trying to lure or distract or seduce that fidelity and that purity and that devotion and that affection to Christ? And so he was dealing with that, and it wasn't so much that I wanted to focus on is what he went on to say. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. And he used that word, I gave her a space. And it's the Greek word chronos, which it has to do with a specific amount of time. It has to do with quantity of time. There's another Greek word, times and seasons, kairos, which has to do more of the actual nature of the events of that time. But when you see this word chronos, it's speaking more specifically of it's a set specific time, whatever it is that God sets. And it ought to strike a holy fear. There is a set time for repentance. There's a time that God gives us this opportunity, but it doesn't last forever. I gave her a set time and she didn't repent. And then he talked about the judgment. I'm going to cast her and her children in the great tribulation. I wonder how many people that we have known and seen that will end up in the great tribulation. Can you imagine? Can you imagine it could be I? It could be you? If we lose sight and don't allow the workings and the infilling and the refreshings and the heating of the voice of God and the buffeting of our bodies, lest by any means when we preach to others we should be cast away. But he gave us space and she didn't repent. And I just wanted to draw out of that when we talk about it, there is a space, there's a time, and there's a season, and God is speaking to us, and God is dealing with every one of us in this room in very specific ways. And He gives us a space, and if not, He'll give us over to whatever it is in your heart. Either we're going to change and we're going to know that glory and that presence and we're going to be used, or we're going to be left behind in the dust. Are we hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church? My heart was encouraged by the faithful when he went on to say that he talked of the judgment that will come in verse 23. I'll kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know I am He that searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they call it, I will put upon you no other burden. Oh, I want to be numbered among that company. Amen. I want to hear those words, that I will put no other burden upon you. There are those that are among us that will have no part of that doctrine, the leaven of corruption. And I'm just saying, whatever that leaven is that you're dealing with in your life, whatever it is in my heart that I'm dealing, we must purge out that leaven of corruption. If not, it's no different than this seductress, the Jezebel in our heart. And yet the space, and what I wanted us to see is that space comes, and it speaks again of that fixed time or that specific period of time, and we're just... there are those set times of God, and I believe that God has brought us through chastening and through fire, and it's a time of favor, hallelujah. But it's not for us to lie on our couch when the time that kings ought to be to war, amen? It is no time to be sitting on our couch in the season, the time that kings ought to be to war. I'll tell you what, we'd save ourselves a whole lot of temptation if we just stay busy with knowing the heart of God and allowing Him to work in us His works, praise God. If we were just more busy about His business, amen? And what we see here is this is going on, and it just took my mind back to the time of Esther in chapter 4, because when you think of set times, you can't help but to think of being called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And if we go back there in Esther and you see the dealings of God and what was going on there, I just was seeing so many parallels for us as a people. Do you remember in the story, and you can read it, you know, on your, it wouldn't take long, but you can go back there to chapter 4. But just to refresh us in the setting, what brought about that persecution and the decree of the enemy of the people of God, the enemy of the Jews, but that there was a man named Mordecai who wouldn't bow? Amen. And if you read the story and you recall, it was because Mordecai wouldn't bow to the rule of the king, to bow before his magistrates. When everyone else bowed, Mordecai stood. Hallelujah. Do we have a Mordecai in the house? Do we have those 7,000 that won't bow their knee to Baal and kiss their hand? And yet it began with a leader who said, I'm not bowing, that brought about the reproach on all the people. Now, that wicked man Haman seen it, and he was infuriated by it. And how much do we see in the spirit realm the fury of the powers of darkness that have been hurled at us and hurled over time and time again, and persecutions and blasphemy and railing and trials and tests that have come against us because of the stand for righteousness and holiness and truth. And if they hated me, they'll hate you. And if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. And I don't come to send peace on the earth. I come to set a sword. I come to light a fire. And what an if it already be kindled. And he spoke of the baptism of his death. And when we talk here and when we look in Esther and we take time to just meditate on what the Holy Spirit was really bringing out, and as you look at that, it was because of his of the stand that took place in Mordecai that brought about this ruling that all of the Jews were going to be wiped out, and they said it in letters to all the provinces. Sounds a little familiar. Okay. Send it online, okay, to every province. We're going to kill them. They're going to be blotted out on this day and let all the people know. And Mordecai just is fasting and praying, and he's crying out to God at the king's gate and just wailing and sackcloth and ashes. And someone tells Esther, Mordecai's out there, and she sends him clothes so he can come into the king's palace, because it wasn't allowed for him to come in sackcloth and ashes. And it's been a season, I trust, in your heart when we look back over these years of fasting and weeping and crying out to God and allowing him that sword of God to cut into our hearts and purge out everything that he wants out through the fire, looking into our own hearts first, and all of these dealings of God. And when we come there to Esther in the fourth chapter, you see that she sends him out to clothes, and he said, some clothes. He says, he refused it. It's not a time for that. And so he sends her word to the messenger she sends, and just tells him what's going on and the decree. And he tells her, you've got to go before the king. And we know it was unlawful, and it was going to be her life that was at stake. She said, if I go before the king and you're not called, you can be ordered to be killed. And so everything's on the line here. And as you go on in the story, the challenge that comes from Mordecai to Esther, fast and pray and go before the king, as he's fasting and praying, tells her to go before the king, and she sends word back and tells him the dangers of it. And he speaks that word to her and tells her, let me tell you something. If you don't go before the king, don't you think you're going to escape? And there is none of us in this room is going to escape what's coming on the face of the earth. And it ain't going to be pretty. And he said, either you're going to follow that call and lay down your life, or you're going to perish. But God, if you don't do it, God is going to raise up a deliverance another way. But don't you think you'll escape the judgment of the Lord? And she sends back that word, if I perish, I perish. Amen. If I perish, I perish. You fast and pray for me, and I'm going in. And as he said, don't you think you'll escape, and God can raise up deliverance another way, but perhaps you've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I believe God has a set in the kingdom for such a time as this. I look at you as a people on the candlestick that this is in this hour and in this generation, and not only here, but that light that's shining into Africa and shining into India and shining in all the places and the lives that are being affected through you, from the prison cells to the streets to the neighborhoods. Do we see ourselves called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Am I recognizing the hour of His visitation? Do we see that everything we've been going through is to prepare us for this hour as an army of God to pull us from the bones and to stand us up at that mighty army as this prophetic word has caused these bones to live again, and there's life in us and there's strength in us and there's flesh and a spirit, and there's a noise and a shaking and a quaking and a coming together, and these bones are alive, praise God. Called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Are you going to be that man? Are you going to be that woman that God's going to use right where you are as part of this army that's been called for this time, for this moment, for signs and wonders and mighty deeds to be wrought through your hands? To be used to boldly speak in His name. To take this word to the ends of our world, wherever it is. And when we see this, I just want to encourage you in that. You know, when we look at how God has been sanctifying us and called us and separated us to Himself, I think of in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where He said, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll be your Father, you'll be my sons and daughters, I'll live in you, I'll walk in you. But just what He said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen? If we have such promises, He began the chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2, we beseech you that you would receive not the grace of God in vain, the grace of God that has visited us and given us riches and treasures untold. Thinking on Isaiah 33, where He said, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, and the fear of the Lord is His treasure. The proper translation is, the Lord is the wisdom and the stability and the knowledge of our times. And the fear of the Lord is our treasure and His too, when He sees it in us. But He is the stability of our times. And as we're drawing on Him, and that grace has been poured out upon us, and He's been raining upon us, I believe it's time for that latter rain right now, of those signs and wonders and that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, not just the former, but the latter rain. Hallelujah. It's time. It's time for those signs and wonders. It's time for that boldness. It's for times of some of us, your face will shine like an angel, and the shadow will heal people, and the boldness, and from the most mundane things as Philip, who ends up preaching in Samaria, and signs and wonders and translations, and who knows what God can do. Is it a fable to you, or is it real? Do we believe that our God is wanting to demonstrate His glory in this hour? And so when I see that, my heart is pierced. The set time of His favors upon us. He's brought us through fires and trials and tribulations, and we know how He spared the people of God in Esther, and how the story ends with Haman hanging on his own gallows. And so it'll be for the people of God that obey Him. If we'll trust in Him and recognize what He's wanting to do and use us in this hour. And so we have this space, we have this moment. Soon we'll be gone. The time is so short. The day of God is upon us. Beloved, it's high time. It's high time. This is our hour. And I would just say to us that, you know, Jesus said, are you say there's 4 months to the harvest? Or do we say, don't receive the grace of God in vain? Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? Now is the accepted time. This is the time. This is our hour. This is the set time of His favor. He's built us as Mount Zion. He's strengthened us. He's prepared us. He's purified us and is still purifying us. But He's making us as a people, that bride of Christ, and that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against us in this hour. And I just sensed in my spirit as I read that, and the last verse I'll read to you tonight was that beautiful promise to us. And I just felt the Holy Spirit just quicken into my heart and say to us as a people, Isaiah 60 and verse 1, arise and shine. Church, arise and shine. Your light has come. Hallelujah. The light of God is in you. The power of God is in you. The promises of God are in you. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Darkness is in Sterling. Darkness in countryside. Darkness has covered this land. But He says that gross darkness over the people, but the Lord shall rise on thee, and His glory shall be seen upon you. And the heathen, the nations, the peoples will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your coming. I'll tell you what, a lot of these people that are coming to this car show, yeah, they enjoy cars and they like all the kindness that are here, but they sense that those cords of love and they don't even understand it. There's a presence that's here. What would call a heathen to get around the people of God? But those cords of God that are tugging on there's just something about that people. There's something about that place. And He says in the heathen to your light and kings. God's going to bring some other people of renown into this place to fall on their faces and say, truly God is in our midst. And He says, and they will come, and He says, lift up your eyes round about and see, and they gather themselves together, they come to you, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. And I say to many of you parents, some of your sons are coming home, praise God. Some of your daughters are coming home. They're coming home, praise God. Because your light is shining, that glory, it's risen upon you. And then you will see and flow together. There's a unity. There's a harmony. There's a flowing of power and that co-labor and then that unity of the Spirit. And your heart shall fear and be enlarged because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you. And the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto you. Father, we ask that You would prepare us for this hour. Lord, You've been working in us and that light has been visiting us and it's shining down upon us, Lord. Lord, just as our eyes grow dim or vexed, just let those scales fall off again. For how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We don't want this grace that has been coming to us to be found in vain, Lord. Today is the day of salvation, Lord. It is the acceptable time. It is a set time of favor that's upon us. You've delivered us from our enemies round about, and You will deliver us again. Lord, let the light of God arise. Let Your people arise, Lord, and shine in this hour. As that city on a hill that cannot be hid. As the light of the world, the salt of the earth, a holy boldness, Lord, to speak in Your name. Dwelling at the feet of Jesus. going forth into the highways and the byways and the streets and the lanes of this area, Lord, and compelling them to come. Compelling them by your love. Constrained by the love of Jesus. Those tears of Jesus, that compassion. Lord, help us to recognize the things that belong to our peace. Help us to know that this is your set time for us as your church to arise and to shine. And Lord, bring the people, Father, to this place. Bring the nations, bring kings, bring the rich, the poor. Bring them to your presence, we cry, Lord. Make us, Lord, those vessels of honor fit for your use. Ah, we give you the glory, Lord. We yield ourselves to you and just turn our hearts, Father, and anything that's in us, any Jezebel, anything that's trying to seduce, Father, our affections away from you. We long that our lives would be hid with Christ and God. Just hide us in you, Lord. Consume us, Lord. And Father, raise up those Phinehases, Lord. Raise up those sons of Zadok. Raise up those Joshuas and Calebs, Lord. Raise up those warriors, Lord. Another generation, Lord, that'll go forth boldly, Lord, in your name and'll work your works, Lord. Send them forth in power, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. What a privilege, Lord. Called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Help us to see, Lord. Open our eyes to see. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, glory to God. If you believe that, say amen. Glory to God. So thankful for God's goodness and presence. Just want to take time to thank you all for your prayers, your love, your care for us as a people. We need your prayers and we're praying for you all. And we just thank God for your faithfulness to the kingdom and for your lives given for such a time as this. So God's grace and peace be with you all. And, let your light shine, praise God. Look at the person next to you and say, arise and shine.